Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
It's election day in the U.S., and control of the House and Senate are at stake.
I just want honesty. I want people to accept the vote.
I believe women should have their own thoughts and decisions on their own bodies.
I go to the grocery store trying to feed a family of five, and I am spending a bajillion dollars, and I'm coming home with nothing.
We'll check in on key races across the country and what issues are driving voters to the polls. It's Tuesday, November 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Across the country, voters are heading to the polls, and our reporters have fanned out to bring you on-the-ground analysis from key races. The results will determine which party, Democrats or Republicans, control the Senate and the House. 36 governorships are also in play. Let's dive right in with our reporter Cameron McWhirter, who is on the ground in Georgia. Cameron, obviously among the key races here is the Senate race with Democrat Raphael Warnock and on the Republican side, former football player Herschel Walker. And then there's the race for the governor's office between incumbent Republican Brian Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams. So what are you hearing from voters today?
Yeah, so I was in Powder Springs, which is a suburb northwest of Atlanta, and I came up to a parking lot outside of a Baptist church that was a polling station, and I saw two men talking there, friendly. I thought it looked as though they'd known each other for years, but actually they just met, which isn't rare in the South. People have long conversations with people they just met. And these two guys were politically polar opposites, but incredibly friendly together. One voted straight Democrat and one voted straight Republican. But one thing they found common ground on, of course, was record high inflation, which is hitting everybody, no matter what your political persuasion, especially at the gas pump.
My full tank is half tank. So that's full tank for me. So $30 is usually keeps me above the halfway. But at the end of 2 days.
So Xavier Light, a longtime Democrat who you first heard make the joke about his gas tank, he and Richard Losee, who is a staunch Republican, agreed on gas prices. They both felt that it was something that was far beyond their control, much to their dismay.
Certain things I feel like are going to do what they're going to do, regardless of who's in. Gas prices are going to, once we turn, you know, the gas prices are going to be what they're going to be, no matter who's in. Nobody's going to take gas back down to $1.18 a gallon. Never again.
Another voter that I met in the suburbs of Atlanta in Cobb County was Tamisha Rich, who is a healthcare worker and mother of six and soon to be seven, which is astonishing. She voted mostly Democrat in this election, but she really worries about the future of the country and really hoped for a return to civility and to a focus on the American people instead of partisan bickering.
I don't get into the sides because to me, I'm going to be honest, it's crappy on both sides. And we are all one people, and that's what people are forgetting. I don't feel like in America that the focus of making sure the American people are okay, that's not in politics anymore.
Voters are eager to cast their ballots. I don't see the animosity that we had 2 years ago. In the presidential race here in Georgia, people seem a little more exhausted by the whole process. And people certainly have, many people have made up their minds long ago. So the barrage of advertising seems to have diminishing returns.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhirter joining us from Powder Springs, Georgia. Thank you so much, Cam.
Thank you.
And in Arizona, political analysts are closely watching the race to replace Republican Governor Doug Ducey. Democratic Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is running against Republican Carrie Lake, a former television news anchor for that seat. Earlier today, we heard about some problems with voting machines in Maricopa County. Machines in about 20% of the 223 voting centers were malfunctioning, according to county officials. Officials later said they resolved the problem in some of those centers and were working to resolve it in other locations. Impacted voters were being asked to put their completed ballots into secure drop boxes as a precaution, according to the chairman of the County Board of Supervisors. We go now to our reporter Alicia Caldwell, who has been speaking with voters today. Alicia, Arizona has some key ballot initiatives voters are weighing in on this election. What can you tell me about them?
Right. So the big deal here in Arizona is whether to give in-state tuition for so-called Dreamers, foreigners who lived in the country since they were children, basically brought here by their parents in one capacity or another, but don't have citizenship and don't have legal status. So this would allow them in-state college tuition. And then second, an interesting one, the state is proposing, or voters will vote on rather, an initiative to create a lieutenant governor position. So, you know, should anything happen, which it's, you know, happened in the past where Arizona has had a governor leave or be removed from office through one means or another, this would create a second in charge, if you will.
What else is at stake in Arizona, Alicia?
The Secretary of State race is an interesting one. Mark Finchem, the Republican, has made no secret of his disdain for the 2020 election and his feeling that, frankly, it wasn't legitimate, and he intends to fix those deficiencies. He, as a state legislature, in fact, earlier this year, proposed legislation to undo the state's electors from 2020. So going forward, you know, should he be elected, he'll have quite a bit to say about future elections. That's the office held currently by Katie Hobbs, who's running for governor. She's out of that office regardless of the outcome of today's elections.
And Alicia, we have Carrie Lake, who is running for governor of Arizona. She's questioned the results of the 2020 election as well.
Carrie Lake is obviously an election skeptic. She's raised questions about the legitimacy even in advance of today's ballots. And in fact, I think earlier this week said, you know, hey, we're on to you. Basically, this is not a quote, but we're ready for any dirty tricks and we will be prepared to counter those. And to be clear, there's been no legitimate allegations of any dirty tricks or wrongdoing. The voting machine problem, which Maricopa County has acknowledged this morning and is working on and assures the public that the ballots will be counted accurately and fairly and no one's ballot will be missed.
In Pennsylvania, a matchup between Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman and Republican Mehmet Oz, the celebrity doctor, is gaining national attention. It's one of the races that could help determine control of the Senate. Denise Vample, a 67-year-old retiree and registered Democrat, said she initially wasn't going to vote in the race, but a key endorsement changed her mind.
I love Fetterman. You know, I'm Democrat all the way. And then when he did the debate with, you know, Oz, that kind of bothered me. But then Oprah got on and told me, what's up? So, Democrat all the way.
Winfrey was key in launching Oz's television career. He was a frequent guest on her show before launching his own. And as we've been reporting, inflation and the economy have been major motivating factors in this election. Here's 39-year-old Bridget Biederman, who voted Republican.
The economy has completely tanked. And I go to the grocery store trying to feed a family of five, and I am spending a bajillion dollars, and I'm coming home with nothing. Gas prices are through the roof. And I just remember in February of 2020, everybody working, everybody thriving, everybody was happy.
Our reporter Scott Calvert has been traveling across the state today, speaking with these and other voters. And he joins me now with what he's learned. Scott, tell us about your day.
Sure. So we started in West Philadelphia in a heavily Democratic, largely African-American part of town. And what I heard from several of these Democratic voters who I spoke with was a concern about preserving abortion access. And so that was a big driver for why they were voting for John Fetterman for Senate, but also Josh Shapiro for governor. Some of them had personal experience, and they were just very concerned that if Republicans gain control of the governor's office here in Pennsylvania, that that could then lead to pretty tight abortion restrictions statewide because you've got a Republican-controlled legislature. And so that was a big concern from several different voters who I spoke with. And that was also part of why they were voting for John Fetterman, because he has made clear that he would like to do what he can at the federal level to preserve abortion access in states like Pennsylvania. The other thing that was interesting in West Philly was I spoke to Denise Vampel, who you heard up top there, talking about how she had some concerns about voting for John Fetterman because of lingering effects from the stroke that he suffered in May and was actually going to leave that blank. But then last week, Oprah Winfrey endorsed John Fetterman, and for her, that made all the difference in the world. And when she went into the voting place, she checked that box for John Fetterman. From West Philadelphia, I went out to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It's a suburban county, a battleground county, about 35 minutes north of Philadelphia. And there, it was a very different picture. There, I met a number of Republican voters, and one of the key issues for them was high gas prices, high inflation overall. I heard that from several different people. As you heard from Bridger Biederman, she is someone who is really concerned about high gas prices, high grocery bills. And, you know, for her, there was this sense that, you know, that before the pandemic and, of course, before Joe Biden was elected president, you know, things were much better. And she has this belief that if Republicans are put back into office, that will bring about improvement in things like grocery prices and gas prices and that sort of thing.
That's our reporter, Scott Calvert. And now we turn to North Carolina, where we've been watching two highly competitive seats for Senate and the U.S. House. Our reporter, Daniela Cheslow, is there. Hi, Daniela.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Daniela, we've spoken before about the degree to which the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade is motivating voters to come out. What did you hear today?
Yeah, Anne-Marie, I'm in suburban North Carolina, just outside Raleigh, and the issue of abortion has energized Democrats in this area. Let's take a listen to retired bus driver Teresa Garner after she voted in Raleigh.
I don't think it's right that they take, the rights of abortion. You know, I think everybody's grown. They should be able to, you know, decide for themselves.
The Democratic candidate for North Carolina's Senate seat is Sherry Beasley, who would be the state's first black woman to hold that spot. And that's adding extra enthusiasm for Democrats, including Garner, who's black, and told me she'd like to be able to make history. Republican candidates like Congressman Ted Budd, who's running for Senate, are anti-abortion. Republican voters I spoke to either held similar views or they said they'd vote on other issues. You can hear Chris McMahon, a 60-year-old entrepreneur in the suburb of Fuquay Varina. She was a little torn on abortion.
It's a tough call. I think everybody has, you know, the right to choice. However, it is tough because of what spiritually is said.
But she told me she voted Republican because she thought the Democrats weren't doing enough to tackle what she said was kind of a scary rise in prices.
Daniela, we know former President Donald Trump has endorsed candidates in different races across the country. How is his influence playing out in North Carolina?
Trump is still a lightning rod here. He endorsed Ted Budd for Senate and Beau Hines, a Republican running in a tight House race in the Raleigh suburbs against Democrat Wiley Nickel. And that Trump endorsement was a kiss of death for a couple of ex-Republicans I met in the Raleigh suburb of Apex. Here's schoolteacher Nancy Berquist. She's 59, and she told me she cared tremendously about abortion, but she also worried about the strength of American democracy.
Women's rights is huge. Also, I just want honesty. I want people to accept the vote and the will of the people and not have all of the up and down. And I want people to come back to America and to accept each other again and to be one country.
Of course, the influence of Trump cuts both ways. Christopher Walsh is a New York transplant. He's 47 years old. He's a contractor in Fuquay Varina, a suburb of Raleigh, and he used to be a Democrat. He voted for Obama before he picked Trump twice because he said he wanted an outsider. Now Walsh is staying with the Republicans.
I don't like Democrat policies. I think that, the Inflation Reduction Act is actually increasing inflation. Can't put more money into a system and expect that inflation is going to go down. I dislike Joe Biden intensely.
So while the former president is still an influence on the midterms here, Joe Biden, the current president, is most certainly a factor as well.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Daniela Cheslow. And there is plenty more to come. You can follow all of the developments on election night at WSJ.com. And we'll have updates for you on tomorrow morning's show. Coming up after the break, we'll finish up with some news headlines.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
U.S. stocks finished the day higher as voters headed to the polls and the nation awaits the results of the midterm elections. The Dow rose more than 330 points, or 1%. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq were each up about 0.5%. Walt Disney reported weaker-than-expected fourth-quarter earnings as losses continue to widen in its streaming business, offsetting strong performance at the company's theme parks. The company's Disney Plus streaming service added 12.1 million net new accounts. Analysts were expecting nearly 9 million additions. But while the company has increased its subscriber base, it has struggled to translate that growth into profits. Cryptocurrency exchange FTX Trading was taken over by rival Binance Tuesday after its users pulled money and cryptocurrency out of their accounts en masse. The deal signals a power shift in the crypto world, which has been hurt by rising interest rates and some investors' exit from riskier assets. Collapses of crypto hedge funds and trading firms this year have whittled down a crowded field of new institutions that set out to build a new kind of finance. FTX, which had been valued at $32 billion in a funding round in January, is by far the biggest to stumble. Binance was an early investor in FTX. And finally, you can put aside your dreams of instant wealth. For now, at least. There was just one winning ticket in the record-breaking Powerball run. The drawing ended in dramatic fashion, with the number being drawn Tuesday morning instead of Monday night, as scheduled due to a security issue. Lottery officials said the lucky ticket was sold at Joe's Service Center, a gas station in the northeastern Los Angeles suburb of Altadena. The winner can take home over $2 billion, paid out in 30 annual payments or a smaller lump sum. The winning numbers on Tuesday were 10, 33, 41, 47, and 56, and the Powerball number was 10. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.